searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Stand by for news.
Hello, and welcome into this Friday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. It's the Friday edition of the podcast, Friday, November 15th, 2019. And the weekend is so close you can smell it. I hope you have great plans for your weekend. My weekend will probably be spent dealing with the 38 metric tons of leaves I have in my yard. See? It's real life, kids. You can't escape it anywhere. It's real life. It still happens regardless of your political sensibilities. It's real life. I don't pay anybody to work in my yard, and it shows. It is a Friday edition of the podcast. We are looking at another day of lunacy coming to us from Washington, D.C. In fact, I've got one eye on the chamber where they're holding their their sessions, and people are filing in, taking their seats, getting ready to get the lunacy started for the day. And before long, you'll be seeing wall-to-wall coverage on your favorite news channel of what they have to say, don't have to say. And who was, so far we haven't had anybody who's had any direct connection with anything that anyone is accused of. We've only had hearsay, second, third, fourth-hand accounts. And today, as I understand it, we have somebody who is going to show up because they're sad because they got fired. That's what it amounts to. Yeah, well, we'll see how that plays out. But it's going to be an interesting day nonetheless. When we get through today, as soon as I get through with putting the bow on everything that I need to get done as far as the podcast is concerned today, then my wife and I will be jumping in the car and heading to Atlanta. We've got some stuff to take care of there today. And it's just a quick day trip. We'll be there. We've got some things to do. We'll have lunch and come back. And that's about the size of it. It's just, honestly, in all honesty, I've got something I'm looking for, and I found a place in Atlanta that may have it, and it's mainly just an excuse to get away for just a little while, just to go someplace and do something that doesn't look like where we live. Do you ever feel that way? You just want to, oh, please, can we just get in the car and go someplace today? I think it happens to pretty much everybody. You just, you get cabin fever or whatever, and you just need a change of scenery. And if it means burning some gas, that's fine. That's okay. Bring on the climate change as far as you're concerned. All you want to do is see some different scenery. And that's what we're going to do today. And there's a place, there's a couple of places that I want to try to get into for lunch today that I've seen on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And they're in Atlanta. And maybe today that'll happen. We'll see. Then again, we may end up at Chick-fil-A. You never know. You just never know. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Hey, speaking of food, hang on here. Let me pull this up because it was something I thought I had it pulled. Oh, no, that's right. That's what happened. I had to reboot and I lost a couple of pages here, but There is an article on hotair.com. And remember, I told you last week that I had tried the Burger King Impossible Whopper. My reaction? Yeah, really, that was it. It's okay. It's no worse than anything else I've had from Burger King. And I have to praise it that way because Burger King, God love them. Hey, Burger King, if you want to advertise in the podcast, that's fine. But in all honesty, since nobody who sells hamburgers advertises in this podcast, then I'm just going to say it. There are much better burgers out there. You're going to pay a little more, but in my opinion, it's worth the difference. So there are better burgers. For example, if you have a Five Guys anywhere in your neighborhood, Five Guys is where you go to get burgers. I'm sorry. It just is. If you're in a hurry, okay. Whataburger is a chain based out of Texas. We have them in Alabama. They've been in Florida for a long time. They're along the Gulf Coast, southern United States. Whataburger ain't bad. It's got a pretty good variety. And honestly, in my opinion, both of those options beat the Whopper. That's just me. This is my personal opinion. But the Impossible Burger, it's, as far as I can tell, it's almost as good as the regular Whopper. I mean, if you were to wrap it in a plain white wrapper and not tell me what I was getting, I probably wouldn't question the fact that it was a Whopper. Probably not. Knowing it wasn't a Whopper, I was suspicious of certain things that I could sense. And it was okay, though. It's not bad. But there's this hype going on now around plant-based burgers, laboratory-grown beef. And the hype is probably outstripping the reality, according to hotair.com. The article here was written by, let's see here, let me scroll back up and get the name of the writer, Jazz Shaw. Jazz! This is a person who actually was born with jazz hands. The article says this: is the hype of the plant-based burger craze and laboratory-grown beef already outstripping the reality? I've seen varying taste test reports on the Impossible Whopper and similar offerings ranging from the ecstatic to the disgusted, but even the real fans aren't saying that it's better than a finely grilled burger. At most, they say it's hard to tell the difference, but now we're hearing from some of the scientists looking into these experimental monstrosities, and they're claiming that in the very near future, plant-based or lab-cultured meat is going to taste better than actual beef. What does that even mean? According to Forbes, plant-based burgers are becoming more mainstream, or at least more available. The Good Food Institute says it won't be long before meat alternatives taste better than meat. This seemingly shocking statement comes from Liz Specht, Associate Director of Science and Technology at the Nonprofit Institute in Washington, D.C., which supports plant-based and cultivated alternatives to conventional meat products. Okay, so here's the basis for this claim. The people at the Good Food Institute don't seem to be saying that the fake meat will taste better than the best cut of meat you've ever eaten. Picture a perfectly cooked ribeye or whatever your dead cow portion of choice may be. But not all of the meat you eat is that good, right? You rarely get a burger that was made by grinding up the choicest cuts off the cow. Sausage is made from lower quality meats as well. But this lady is telling us that they're perfecting this laboratory experiment so that there will never be any gristle or tough portions. Keep in mind, she's also talking about cultivated meat here, the type that's made from actual meat to begin with, but is cultured in a laboratory. Quote, we can cultivate meat that is all upside. No gristle, no bone, no skin, no tendons. We can tweak the ratio of anything in the meat or even combine things that would never occur in a single animal, says Specht. Combining things that would never occur in a single animal? Am I the only one getting creeped out when I read stuff like this? I'm not trying to speak for the Luddites here who reject all progress. Or reject all progress in science, but this just seems dangerously unnatural. The food industry is now moving into uncharted territory and pumping out things for people to eat that we didn't evolve to consume. People regularly freak out about preservatives in food, excessive processing of meat products, and GMOs, but somehow this new trend in chemistry set meals is just fine and dandy with much of the public. This is one of those cases where I actually hope I wind up being wrong. Who knows? Maybe this is the next revolution in sustainable food. But it certainly sounds like we're begging for something to go disastrously wrong further down the line. Sadly, we'll have to wait until a lot of people have been eating this stuff for a number of years before we know if any long-term health issues will start cropping up. And that last bit there is the absolute clincher to this whole thing. So many things have been approved by the government, and we've been told by the FDA and other experts, I'm air quoting and you can't see the air quotes, experts, that this is perfectly fine. The food pyramid. Do you remember the food pyramid? Remember being shown that handy-dandy pyramid and the number of things in each level you should be eating every day for a nice balanced diet? We're learning right now that the food pyramid approved by the government is wrong. It's actually making people fat. We're learning so much. And it's just insane that we turn to the experts in government and they've been wrong again and again and again and again. And years down the road, we find out that long-term health issues are cropping up. Now, I can't help but think of Soylent Green. What are they making the burgers out of? Cultured meats? Plant byproducts? Just give me cow. That's what I want. I'd like cow with a little slice of pig on top of it and some cheese, please. I want cow. That's what I want in my bun. Cow. You can load it up with everything you want. Hold the tomato. It's a texture thing. But I want cow. Cow, cow, cow. Give me, I want beef, real food. I've tried it. I don't like it. I don't hate it, but I don't like it. If it were the only thing available to eat, I'll eat it. Unlike other things, I won't eat. Oysters, for example. But I just, no. Give me the real thing. We're going to find that when we mess with nature, it bites us. It always does. So let's take the Impossible Burger and the rest of the non-meat substitutes and be honest. If you're going to eat plants, if you want to be a vegetarian, that's fine. That's your choice. If you want to be vegan, that's extreme, but it's your choice. That's fine. Go ahead. Just don't shove it on the rest of us, okay? The rest of us are happy. We like being happy. We don't like being unhappy. And when we learn in the long term that what was pushed on us and shoved down our throats is responsible for health problems that we're experiencing, we're going to be even unhappier. So please, keep your plant-based burgers to yourself. We'd rather have the real deal. And honestly, we'd rather have the real deal, if we're being honest, that was cooked on a flat top in its own juices. It's got a nice little crust on the top and the bottom that you crunch through when you bite into it. Even if it's medium rare, it's still got that little crust on it. You know what I mean? That's a great burger. That's a great burger. Just give us what we want. Because our teeth are designed to chew meat. Our digestive systems are designed, and I say designed with a reason, because I believe they are designed. Our digestive systems are designed to process meat, to create the energy we need to perform in life. Please stop trying to convince us that we're destroying the planet and that we're killing ourselves by eating meat. Because all of the scientific studies you refer to are being disproven day by day by day. And please stop trying to persuade our government to shove this down our throats. Because all you have to do to know without a shadow of a doubt that our government is a pack of idiots is turn on your television and turn to a news channel today. Because you'll see what's happening in Washington, D.C. You'll see a bunch of people who are denying reality and embracing a fantasy in the hopes that they can control power and control you. Those of us who are honest with life and ourselves don't want those people telling us how to live our lives. We don't want those people telling us we can't enjoy a burger, a good, juicy, cooked on the griddle burger from time to time. Every meal? Oh, of course not. Don't be ridiculous. But when we want one, we should be able to get one. And this push towards vegetation burgers is a little bit crazy. If you've sworn off meat, can I ask you a personal question? Why do you want imitation meat? If you, just for personal general principle, have sworn off meat, why do you want to buy something that's supposed to be a perfect imitation of meat? Shouldn't your principles tell you that's wrong? Shouldn't you just go chew on some celery and be honest with your own convictions? And shouldn't you stop telling us to conform to your chosen lifestyle and just be honest with yourself? Of course you should. But then, when you're a vegan and you're a progressive, I don't think it's possible to be honest with the world. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate you being there. It means a lot to me that you are there, whether you are on the Facebook Live feed. And honestly, there's just a little gaggle of people on Facebook Live that care enough, and that's fine. The vast majority, the overwhelming majority, grabbing the daily podcast. So thanks to you, all of you. I appreciate you being there and for sharing with your friends. I've made it easy to share, by the way. You just go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and the links are right there. You can find the podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. It's all four different places, four different ways for you to tap in every day, as well, Monday through Friday, as the podcast releases, and to share with your friends. So grab a link, share it with a friend via email or text today, and introduce them to what you've made part of your day. Okay? Just do me that little favor. All right. Awesome. Well, it's been horrible news in Santa Clarita, California. There's been a school shooting. You know about this already. And gun control advocates reacted to this school shooting by slamming the National Rifle Association and Republicans. Because, of course, a California high school student opened fire at Saugus High School yesterday, killing a 16-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy and wounding three other teens before shooting himself in the head. This is according to what officials are saying. The suspect survived but was in grave conditions. Several liberal pundits and media figures responded to the tragedy by calling for stricter restrictions on gun ownership and slamming pro-Second Amendment advocacy groups. Cenk Uygur, the progressive CEO of the Young Turks News Network, denounced Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the NRA, saying, "There's a shooting in Santa Clara, in a Santa Clara Clarita High School with at least five injured, two critically. You know why? Guns, NRA, Mitch McConnell. That bleep has taken $1.2 million in bribes from the NRA to make sure we have no gun control at all. And it's our kids who get shot." He said that in a tweet. Well, he's really vocal about this. He's decided to step out and really be vocal. Gee, I wonder why. We'll explore. Holly Figueroa O'Reilly, a Democratic Party activist who's written opinion pieces for The Washington Post, dismissed the notion that it was too soon to politicize the shooting. She says, "It's not too soon, it's too late for these kids and all other people affected by gun violence, whether it's mass murder or domestic violence in Santa Clarita or Chicago." She also urged people to call on Massacre Mitch and tell him that we demand gun control now. Shortly after the shooting, California Democratic Representative Katie Porter pushed for Congress to pass H.R. 8, a bill establishing new background check requirements for firearm transfers between private parties. She tweeted, journalist Kaz Weda tweeted, "It's important to emphasize this point over and over. Tragedies like this one that is unfolding right now in Santa Clarita are preventable. The GOP could pass resolutions on gun control at any time. Our children don't have to live and die like this." But pro-gun advocates also pointed things out, like Dana Lash, saying the suspect in Santa Clarita used a .45 caliber pistol. Reminder, federal law restricts under 21 from carrying or purchasing handguns. California law is no different. Law enforcement officers will obviously investigate how the suspect came to illegally possess a handgun. Also remember, California, states in general, have negligence laws that regulate access, plus additional state storage laws. And what she's saying, if I can just clarify that, if it confuses you, is the kid who had the gun had it illegally. He was breaking laws. Laws, which these other people want more of. More things for people like this shooter to ignore. Several pro-gun advocates pointed out California has some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. For example, California has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, so no gun control at all is simply a lie. California has universal background checks, an assault weapons ban, a gun registry for all sales, and countless other regulations. Way to push back against critics who pointed out the state's tight restrictions on firearms by arguing that California shares open borders with states that don't have those laws. So are you saying that this high school kid traveled across state lines and bought a gun from a federally registered gun dealer in another state who broke federal law? Is that what you're saying? What we know is that after drawing a .45 caliber semi-automatic handgun from his backpack, he opened fire on the other students, saved the last bullet for himself. That's what Captain Kent Wegener of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department told a news conference. FBI agent Paul Delacorte said, at this point, we have no indication of any motive or ideology. You may have seen reports as well. I've seen, you know, interviews with people who say what they typically say. We had no idea. He was such a nice guy. There are always things going on that you don't know about. And then there will be people who will know things. We'll find out more. We always do as time goes on. We find out more. But I pointed out that Cenk Uygur seemed to jump in on this. This guy's a, you know, a political hack. Well, I think we may have a reason. Because Wednesday, the founder of the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, filed to run for the House of Representatives to replace Representative Katie Hill, the Democrat from California who resigned after she was accused of sexual impropriety with staffers, who, by the way, is now playing the victim card as though she is a victim somehow, when she was the one doing things that could have gotten her tossed in prison. As The Hill reported, an FEC filing dated Wednesday announces the formation of the Cenk for Congress Committee, with Uygur listed as the group's treasurer. He issued a tweet indicating he was not speaking about the filing publicly, writing to all reporters, "No comment." Whether he can gain support from some members of his party is up for grabs. As the Huffington Post reported in December of 2017, the Justice Democrats, which Uygur helped establish, ousted him after sexist blog posts that Uygur wrote in the early 2000s came to light. The group intended to support progressive primary challenges against Democratic incumbents in Congress, notes Huffington Post. Justice Democrats Executive Director Saikat Chakrabarty, who, by the way, later served as Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's chief of staff before he left, said yesterday blog posts written by Cenk Uygur and David Kohler surfaced, in which they both made extremely disturbing sexist statements. The entire staff and leadership of Justice Democrats was horrified by these posts. Yada, 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 yeah. He wrote some sexist stuff back in the day. He's apologized. He's apologized again and again. But those who oppose him will drag those up. They will make an issue out of something that happened so long ago, as they have to. After all, we've seen that they will go back 40 years to find somebody or more to find posts in somebody's high school or notes in somebody's high school yearbook to try to condemn them as an adult. So these people, there are no boundaries on what these people will do. Now, I'm not defending Cenk. I'm not. I'm just saying this guy jumped on the bandwagon condemning the existing gun laws and blaming lack of more gun laws for the shooting of high school students in California. And the reason is he's now pushing himself into the public eye and running for office on the national level. This is a guy who founded an organization which produced Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and others. Racists, bigots, people who hate Israel, socialists who want to radically transform the United States of America into a socialist nation. That is the cloth that this man is cut from. So just keep that in mind, California. When this guy runs to replace this sexual deviant who's been forced out of office, his background is a lot to be concerned about. His old posts, you can toss those out. His more current beliefs are actually the dangerous thing to be looking at. Just keep that in mind. And also remember, the fact that he's running for office is why he's concerned about a school shooting in California, the state he seeks to represent, a state which already has some of the most restrictive gun laws in America. But laws don't stop criminals. They're criminals because they have no regard for the law, regardless of how young or how old they may be. This young man ignored the law, and as a result, two people are dead and others are gravely injured. Because laws don't stop people who don't care about law. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here, sometimes humble host. Driving this crazy bus through the streets of life here in America. Just trying to get a little insight and enjoying the absurdity along the way. It is the 15th day of November 2019, heading into the weekend, and I hope you have great plans for your weekend. And one of the things I've been encouraging for the last few weeks is that you find some way and some time to just unplug, you know? I did that yesterday, I actually, for just a little while. You have to do it. You just have to. Or it all starts whacking you in the head, and before long, you're just as crazy as everybody else. You may fit in, but it's still not a good thing. For example, yesterday, I plugged my earphones in and found some stuff to listen to that was not politics, didn't have anything to do with the news. And I fired up my riding lawnmower, and I mulched leaves for an hour or so yesterday. Just went out and attacked the yard for a while. And it was necessary. Have to do stuff like that. I mean, you need to unplug from what's happening to maintain your level of sanity. Face it, you're being pummeled, bombarded with information every day, all day. Stuff is coming at you. From time to time, you need to disconnect. You can do that by sitting down and listening to some music. You can take a walk, plug in your earphones, and listen to whatever you want to, whether it's music or podcasts or whatever, and just kind of unplug from the lunacy that is life. The best way, is just to disconnect completely. To leave to leave your music player, your phone, whatever, in the car, and take a walk, or leave it in your pocket and don't listen to anything and just be quiet. A lot of people, most I would say, the vast majority of people, can't do that. they just can't. They can't unplug. They have to have some kind of noise filling the silence all the time. And the reason, in my personal, not so humble opinion, is that most people don't like being faced with life. They don't like facing the truth and reality. And that happens in the quiet. So let me encourage you. Spend some time in the quiet this weekend. Turn off the TV or go outside or get away from the noise. And don't take any noise with you. You know what I mean. And just spend some time in the quiet and deal with it. Just deal with it. Be honest. If you do that on a regular basis, your life's going to improve. Trust me, it will. Especially if you're somebody who is a person of faith. If you're a person of faith, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, and you spend all of your quiet time with something filling the quiet, even if it's your favorite worship music, odds are you're avoiding something that you need to face. I say odds are. Doesn't mean 100%. It just means most people. They can't handle the quiet. Deal with the quiet. Face it head on. Be honest with yourself. Watch your life change. Because it will. And all of us could use that change. Well, back to the ugliness that is life around us before we unplug. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Vadim Pristaiko said yesterday, United States Ambassador Gordon Sondland did not link financial military assistance to a request for Ukraine to open up an investigation into former Vice President and current Democratic President presidential candidate Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Quote, Ambassador Sondland did not tell us and certainly did not tell me about a connection between the assistance and the investigations. You should ask him. He goes on to say, I have never seen a direct relationship between investigations and security assistance. Yes, the investigations were mentioned, you know, in the conversation of the presidents, but there was no clear connection between these events. Pristaiko's comments came after House Democrats launched their public impeachment inquiry hearings Wednesday on the House Intelligence Committee. During the hearing, Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, specifically picked apart Ambassador William Taylor, who Jordan called Democrats' star witness, on the issue of whether there was ever any linkage between the military assistance and a request to open up an investigation into the Bidens. Jordan said, in those 55 days that aid is delayed, you met with President Zelensky three times. The first one was on July 26, the day after the famous call now between President Trump and President Zelensky. President Zelensky meets with you, Ambassador Volker, and Ambassador Sondland, and again, according to your deposition and your testimony, there was no linkage of security assistance dollars to investigating Burisma or the Bidens. Second meeting was August 27th. President Zelensky meets with you, Ambassador Bolton, and others, and again, there's no linkage of security assistance dollars to an investigation of the Bidens. And then, of course, the third meeting was September 5th. President Zelensky meets with you and Senators Johnston and Murphy. And once again, there was no linkage of security assistance dollars to investigating Burisma or the Bidens. Three meetings with the president of Ukraine and no linkage. He adds, that's accurate. The answer, Mr. Jordan, it's certainly accurate on the first two meetings because, to my knowledge, the Ukrainians were not aware of the hold on assistance until the 29th of August. The third meeting that you mentioned with Senator Murphy and Senator Johnston, there was discussion of security assistance, but there was not a discussion of linkage. Jordan continued to press Taylor, saying President Zelensky had to commit to an investigation of the Bidens before the aid got released, and the aid got released. And he didn't commit to an investigation. Taylor replied, I was not wrong about what I told you because that is what I heard. That's all I've said. I've told you what I heard. And that's the point. Jordan responds, what you heard did not happen. It didn't happen. You had three meetings with the guy. He could have told you. He didn't announce that he was going to do an investigation before the aid happened. It's not just, could it have been wrong? The fact is, it was wrong because it didn't happen. The whole point is, you had a clear understanding that aid will not get released unless there is a commitment. Not maybe. Not I think the aid might happen. Not it's my hunch it's going to get released. You used clear language. Clear understanding and commitment. And those two things didn't happen. So you had to be wrong. Jim Jordan cuts through all of this smoke in a very effective way. He gets to the bottom line. He points things out. And he makes things very clear in an atmosphere where clarity is the enemy. Remember yesterday, we talked about what he said about this delay, this holding back of this aid. He clarified why, that it did happen, and why it happened. And the fact was that Ukraine, the president, nobody in Ukraine knew there was a delay. They didn't do what they were asked to do. They didn't do the favor. And still they got their aid. It was delayed not for the purpose of making sure they delivered on what they were asked to do. It was delayed because President Trump and his trusted advisors in his administration knew that Ukraine has a storied reputation of corruption. And he and his people wanted to be absolutely certain that the new president and his team were really clean and that they weren't continuing the corruption that they're famous for in Ukraine. That's why there was a delay. They were checking in and making sure that these people were clean, that they were trustworthy, that we weren't throwing American money at a group of people who were just going to take that money and do things with it that were not supposed to be done with it. And that's why there was a delay. There is no other nefarious reason for there being a delay. It was just that. And that jives with everything we know, with everything that Trump has said about our dealings with foreign nations. Remember, he has said we have been taken advantage of for too long. We have been cheated for too long. We have made bad deals for too long. And what he was doing was staying true to what he's promised America, that he is going to check into all of these deals, investigate them, and make sure that we're coming out on the good end of things and we're not being taken advantage of anymore. And the bottom line is that the Trump administration actually helped Ukraine more than the Obama administration did. Remember that saying? Obama gave them blankets. Trump gave them missiles. So we really did help them. And the Obama administration just went through the motions. Because as it's becoming clear, people in the Obama administration were using Ukraine as a cash cow. And there's article after article online about that. Leaked documents are showing that tens of millions of dollars from Ukraine were paid to John Kerry, Hunter Biden, and more. That's something we'll look at after the break. Corruption has been a problem with Ukraine for a long, long time. And the current administration, the Trump administration, was simply trying to make sure we weren't helping fund that corruption any longer. They didn't tell anyone they were holding back the aid, the help, the funds. They didn't tell anybody. They didn't make an issue out of it. They just investigated. They looked. They checked. And as part of it, they asked for a favor. Now, that favor was not tied to any relief. that Favor was not under any pressure. Our president and the president of Ukraine have both said so. Both of them. And others as well. And that's interesting because the very people at the center of all of this idiocy, this clown show in Washington, D.C., the people in the focus, in the spotlight, all say there was no pressure. There was no bribery. There was no extortion. They all say so. But the Democrats are saying they're lying. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. This is just coming out. President Trump has been talking about releasing the transcript of his first phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and he has released that transcript. The memorandum came out just moments ago. U.S. diplomats have testified the call was brief and uneventful. Trump says the call was more important than the controversial July 25th call because this one came first. It was their first contact, 16-minute-long conversation. It was arranged so Trump could congratulate the newly elected Zelensky on his victory. This is a standard practice among leaders of allied countries. Trump said, quote, I'd like to invite you to the White House. We'll have a lot of things to talk about, but we're with you all the way. When I owned Miss Universe, they always had great people. Ukraine has always been very well represented. He owned, by the way, the beauty pageant from 96 to 2015. And the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, testified last month. While the White House didn't release a summary of the call previously, it was largely uneventful. It was a good call. It was brief. Trump and Zelensky hit it off, she said. She said she was told. Oh, my. This is going to be an interesting day. The clown show continues in Washington, D.C., and we have to deal with it. Bless our hearts. Bless our hearts. Well, documents have been discovered that show cash transfers from a Ukrainian gas company to a slush fund operated by several major Democrats. The slush fund is reportedly run by former Secretary of State John Kerry. John Kerry Jr., another Kerry family member, and Hunter Biden. This is reported by Michael Kudrey. Quote, leaked documents from the Ukrainian General Prosecutor's Office indicate complex money transfers from foreign sources into the control of a slush fund owned and operated by Devin Archer. Is that it? That name should be familiar to you by now. John Kerry Sr., John Kerry Jr., Hines Jr., and Hunter Biden. According to the Department of Financial Monitoring of Latvia, the following sums of money were obtained from Burisma Holding Limited, which is open at AS Private Bank in Latvia. This describes the money transfer of $14,655,982 and €366,015 from WireLogic Technology AS and $1.96 million from Digitech's Organization LLP. Further, part of the sums described above were transferred to Alan Apter, Alexander Kwasniewski, Devin Archer, and Hunter Biden. Burisma Holdings Limited, during a period from November 18, 2014 to November 16, 2015, transacted 45 money transfers through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC in the sum of $3.5 million. The recipient of the money transfer is Rosemont Seneca Bohai LLC. Seneca Bohai LLC is owned and operated by Devin Archer, the Kerry family, including John Kerry Sr., John Kerry Jr., Hines Jr., and Hunter Biden, all of whom are also listed as partners in the Rosemont Seneca Fund and other affiliated Rosemont Seneca companies. Leaked transaction and bank records indicate an influx of large payments from Ukrainian energy company Burisma Holdings Limited to Rosemont Seneca Bohai LLC in what appears to be monthly payments of $83,333.33. Why was a foreign company that was being investigated by the Ukrainian General Prosecutor's Office for corruption suddenly retain and solicit high-profile U.S. persons affiliated with government and pay them such large sums of money? Soon after, high-profile U.S. persons were paid off, including the son of U.S. politician and Vice President Joe Biden. The corruption probe into Burisma and Hunter Biden was shut down under threat from U.S. administration withholding $1 billion in aid. In conclusion, it is to the best of my knowledge determined a corrupt foreign gas company solicited high-profile U.S. persons affiliated with government to illegally influence official U.S. foreign policy and pressure the Ukrainian government to shut down its corruption investigation. Furthermore, it has been determined that after significant payments were made to the firm partly owned by Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, while vice president, operated in an official capacity to change U.S. foreign policy to help enrich and protect his son, Hunter Biden. So now we have documents being released. We have, you know that old saying, follow the money? We have money to follow. And where does it lead? It leads to Devin Archer, John Kerry Sr., John Kerry Jr., and Hunter Biden. Oh, the Hines Jr., that's no doubt a child of Kerry's spouse, or a relative of Kerry's spouse. So, we see millions upon millions of dollars transferred from Burisma to a slush fund managed by the Kerrys, Archer, and Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. This is the corruption that we talked about in the previous story, the corruption that we know about in Ukraine. This is the corruption that was being sought out. This is the corruption that President Trump wanted to be assured was not continuing under the current administration there. This is the corruption that prompted holding back of those funds to be sure it was no longer going on. This is the corruption we should be investigating. But the Democrats are doing everything within their power to control the narrative, to keep the news from coming out about this corruption, the real corruption, because it's bad for them. Because under the previous Democrat administration, there was a lot of corruption like this. Things that we've never heard about and probably won't hear about because the left-leaning progressive press doesn't want you to know everything. Because in progressivism, controlling the flow of information is vitally important in order to control the opinion of the people. They know that they can shape opinion by what the news talks about. And so they control what the news shares with you. Which is why I say, every day, find alternative sources for news. You can't trust the alphabet networks. You can't trust the news channels. They're not giving you the complete story. For one thing, aside from them being primarily controlled by progressives, they're limited by time. They can't get into depth into stories. And we have seen in recent years that when a news channel does go into depth on stories and does explore the aspects that can't be explored in the regular news cycle because of time constraints, that those end up getting labeled. For example, at Fox News, if you go beyond the headlines and the sensationalism, you're labeled. People like Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, people like that who dig beyond the sensational headlines and try to dig in and find the truth about things, the left labels those people and paints them in a negative light so that people won't trust them. You probably know this to be true when dealing with your friends in social media. I actually had that happen to me earlier this morning when I made a comment underneath a friend's post, and a liberal leftist progressive labeled me and accused me of getting all of my news from Fox News. Now, this person has no idea who I am. I've never met them before. We've never had any kind of social interaction other than this one time. And because I had a dissenting opinion, they made the assumption that I was a moron and I only got my news from Fox News. And they stopped commenting on that particular thread. Said, I'm out of here. In other words, the room is too stupid for me to be here. And this is what happens. If you dig for truth, if you go beyond the news sound bites and video clips, and you dig for the real story, they'll label you. But keep on digging. Go beyond what they're trying to tell you, because they're not telling you everything. And trust me, you need to know as much as you can. Hey, it's the weekend. Unplug. Have fun.
I'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?